what about me? Some of you might know who I am as the guy on here. I am actually a pastor, believe that or not. I'm an associate pastor here. My title is Next Gen Pastor, which means I have the privilege to work with high school, middle school, grade school, and little kids. Of course, I spend time with adults, counseling, and stuff like that. But it was interesting. I wanted to share that with you because my wife says, you know no one's going to take you seriously. No one thinks you actually think like an adult. And guys, I'm 53. I'm trying, okay? So hopefully after today's over, you can make your own decision if you think I have adult-minded thoughts. All right. So I want to share this with you. Today, you know what? Let's pray. Let's pray before we get into it. Dear Lord, God, I thank you so much. I thank you, Lord, that you could use someone like me. And I say that so humbly, Lord. Whatever I have is yours. I give it to you, Lord. And I thank you that you allow me to be grafted in to just do ministry. Lord, I don't always get it right. I am so human. Sometimes it hurts. But Lord, I thank you for your long suffering in who I am as well as us as a people. Lord, I pray today that as we talk about which Jesus are we following, which Jesus are we expecting, which Jesus is the Jesus that we are following. Lord, I pray that you would allow us to understand where we stand. And if we need to do something a little bit different, or maybe we have to take a right angle from what we're doing, give us the strength to do that. All this in your precious name. Amen. So, as I was prepping for today, one of the things that came to my mind is, this is Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday, which leads into Good Friday, which leads into the cross, the resurrection, the most horrific and beautiful story in history. But if you're like me, you probably have heard the story a few times. Now, if you're in the house and you're new to the Lord, praise the Lord. I hope this is something that just is amazing to you. Or if you're fresh with the Lord, awesome. If you're still figuring it out, listen closely. But I want to say this to those of you that have been with the Lord for a while. Again, 53, I've probably heard this story 100, 200 times. So what is it that we do to keep from it getting stale? To keep from ourselves going, heard it before, I know it all. Because if you start thinking that way about something that you hear on an annual basis, how easy would it be to get complacent with God's word on a regular basis? I want to challenge you right now with this. God's word is a living word. Okay? It's a living word. In Hebrews, it says, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Greek word for living means to have life, alive, movement. Okay? I want you to understand that God's word is not static. It's not still. God's word should bring us. Okay, here's the thought. Put this in your pocket. Every time you open up God's word, every time you hear someone speak, ask yourself before they say a word, God, what do you have for me this time? Okay? Just something to think about. It's your own, you figure it out yourself, but the reality is this. There should never be a time that you hear a story from God's word and go, heard it, know it. If you do, great, share it. But the truth is, his word is alive. It's layered. See, I'm not the same Jim Hopper in 2025 April that I was in 2024 or 2023 or 1983 or 1973. Yeah, I was born 71. Yeah, I'm not the same person because my life changes. Things change. And thank you, God, that I can hear the story of Noah over and over and over. And every time I say, God, what do you have for me this time? And he always shows up with something new, some new layer or some new epiphany moment that I go, whoa, I can apply that. So if you're here today, and you know the triumphant entry story, you know the idea of Palm Sunday, then I pray that you would listen closely and see what does God have for me today that I've never heard before or that I maybe need to really impress in my heart. All right. A little boy was sick on Palm Sunday and stayed home from church with his mother. His father returned from church holding a palm branch. The little boy was curious and asked, "Why do you have that palm branch, Dad?" You see, when Jesus came into town, everyone waved palm branches to honor him. So, we got palm branches today. The little boy replies, "Ah, shucks! The one Sunday I miss is the Sunday that Jesus finally shows up." I hope you don't believe that to be true. He's everywhere you are, but I really believe that he shows up every week. Pastor Rick is one of my closest friends, and I've known him forever. And I just love that he is he's deep. I love that he wants us to learn God's word so that when the winds come, when everything pushes hard, we can stand You know, that's the whole point, right? We get together to lift each other up, to hold each other up. But also, when we are digging into God's word and studying it deep, then we can stand together and go, I'm not going to be moved. I know that's what's happening over here, but we're not going to move. We know what we feel. Thank you, Pastor Rick, for always being faithful to God's word. All right, so let me reiterate. Which Jesus? You're going to hear that because I want you to keep coming back to that idea as I tell you the story and as I interject some of my thoughts into it. Which Jesus would you have been expecting if you were there during this time? And then today, which Jesus are you following? All right, this will make more sense as I get deep into it, but I hope some of you aren't surprised, but I have a feeling that some of you are going to go, ooh, I need to do some analyzing. I did. Guess what? I did. I pretty much is the kid that came out the womb right into church, and I've heard Jesus' name my whole life. You know, there was a point where I had to make it real, but there's also been times in my life where I was like, Jesus, not here, not Jesus, you know. So hopefully it's going to make sense to you. So let's get into it. Palm Sunday, a beautiful, bittersweet moment. So we have Jesus coming in, he's entering in, and the people of this land, they knew who he was. He had got some prominence because of what he was doing. He was healing people. He was lifting people up that weren't able to walk. He was healing the blind. He was very, very known for the fact that Lazarus was dead for 4 days, and he raised him up. People knew who he was. So you might have this idea that people were there because they realized they want to see this guy. And they want to do something about it. And they're like, hey, this is the guy? This is the guy? Bittersweet, though, because if you do know the story, you know that some of these people that were excited in the moment, some of these people that were actually saying, Hosanna, hey, is this the Messiah? Is this the one that we've been hearing about? Hosanna, Hosanna, taking their coats off and putting palm branches down. Some of these same people days later would be saying, crucify him. Crucify him. Oh, God, that would so not be me. I can't promise you because there's other Bible stories that make me go, I would never have done that. And yet when I know who I am and I analyze myself, I go, wow, you know what? I may have done that. There's a reason that God said that all these people were thinking that way. I would never want to crucify my Lord. But see, these people were very ignorant to the truth of who Jesus was. The great evangelist Billy Graham had been quoted many times as saying that he believes the greatest mission field in our country today is our local church, the people already sitting in our church. You get that? I see a lot of heads nodding. You get that? That's not a cut on you or me. That's to say that we love having missionaries. We love that people go other places. But you know that other countries send missionaries this way? Because they're like USA, they're messed up. They don't know Jesus. If you're sitting here today and Jesus isn't absolutely real to you, then keep listening. If you don't have a personal relationship beyond knowing who he is, if we're not seeing fruit, then there's something there. I shared with the last group of people, you know, your mission field is everywhere you go. I spent 19 years in factories, 14 and a half dealing with Mr. Wolf here. No, not dealing, I'm sorry. I love him. We worked together. And 19 years in a factory. And let me tell you, if you live in a factory, and that's what I mean, live, because you don't work in a factory. You live in a factory with the hours that you put in. But let me tell you, the stories that I heard and the language and you know what? It had been real easy for me to just slip right in there and be the, because you know what? I think I'm funny. It's okay if you don't think I'm funny, but I hear you laughing. I'm funny. Let's just admit it. But I think I'm funny, but you know what? When you're funny and you're in a setting like that, boy, it'd be real easy to be on and be blue. It'd be real easy if I was someone who used language to use language or talk dirty. I never did that. That's not because I'm special. It's because God realized he had to dumb me down or else I would have bought into that. Now, if you're someone that has done that, it's not criticism. That's just letting you know there are mission fields available to us. But also, we have to know who we are in Christ. And the whole idea, I believe, of today's story is knowing which Jesus we follow and then how I'm going to press in further. Let me read you the account of the story in Matthew 21, 1 through 11. Now, when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly, and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? So the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of the Jewish nation. If you don't know that story, I'll encourage you to go check that one out. It's in Exodus. Incredible story. But that one establishes Passover. God says, I want you to never forget this. The scripture says, so this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance. See, something amazing happened, one of the most amazing things for these people, and God wanted them to remember it. So every year they're going to celebrate. That's why so many people were there. They're celebrating Passover. Little did they know that the best Passover was about to come. But they were there. So there's a lot of people, a lot of people hearing about Jesus. Now here's where it gets interesting. This is where the witch Jesus makes sense. These people knew all the things that Jesus has been doing. They heard all the stories. They were like, this guy is amazing. I got to see him. And you know what? And they're going to respect him. They're going to throw their coats down. They're putting palm branches down. Oh, I'm sure that we think trending is our thing. It's not. I'm sure that there were some people in the crowd that were like, what's going on, man? Here's my coat. They just want to be part of what's going on. That happens all the time. I wouldn't even imagine that there were some people that yelled crucify days later that didn't even know what was going on. They were just like, well, this is the trendy thing. You know, I'm sure that was happening. But the reality is people knew there was something special about him. And I got to be honest with you, I don't think that they've done anything wrong so far. Notice I said so far because I'm leading you to something. They were honoring him. Here's the thing. What happens next is their expectation of who Jesus was not the same as who Jesus was. See, their expectation was this guy that they heard of is the Messiah. He's going to come and free them from their political oppression, free them from the Roman issues that they're dealing with. They expected this because everything else lined up to them. So like, this is the guy. He's going to do this. And a few days later, they don't see any armies being put together. They don't see political figureheads being brought together through him. They're going, well, wait a minute. If he's going to help us, then what's going on? And then a few days later, they see him being disfigured. They see him being beaten. And they're like, wow, he's weak. This isn't the guy I expected at all. See, they went from glorifying him because he was doing things for them. And that's right. And then they started to get excited about, okay, well, we think that this could be the guy that's going to come save us. Again, expectations of what they wanted from him. But what's interesting is that if they would have listened the whole time, if they would have listened, he was telling them all exactly what he was about. They just weren't listening. Do you know before Jesus came in, he looked down. Before his entry, he looked down, and the Bible tells us that he had a tear. Now, there's many reasons that could be. We could all probably come up with a reason as to why. But one of the most acceptable reasons that people have come up with, and I agree, is he looked down knowing he's about to come through this celebration, this amazing moment where people are excited to see him, but they're not excited for the reasons that they should be. See, he knew that if they just, the people wanted peace. They wanted peace in their land. And he says, I can give you peace, but it's a peace that you will never understand. This is a peace that is laying claim over the dominion of Satan. They weren't grasping that. That didn't make sense to them. They just didn't want to deal with the government. So all of a sudden, when he didn't show up the way they wanted to, they weren't happy with him. He had a tear because I think he's seen, this is why I have to do that whole Friday thing. I'm not trying to belittle it when I say it that way, but I think Jesus knew. He's like, if they would have just grasped it, they'd have gotten everything they needed. Can I go as far as to say, if I would truly grasp which Jesus I serve, if I would truly understand Jesus the way he wants me to, I would have peace in all of the storms. I'm not challenging Satan, but I'm telling you, I have a lot of peace in my life. Even when things get a little crazy, I just take a breath and I go, God, you got this. Hey, listen, my wife and I are going to go on a cruise in a few weeks. This might be the last time you hear me preach. We might go, okay? Wow, that took a turn. Man, he's morbid. But here's the thing. If the last thing you hear from me is me telling you that Jesus loves you and he wants you to pursue him with everything you've got, I'm okay with that. I'm not okay with not getting to see my grandkids, but they're going to know that I love Jesus as well. See, I want every time you see me to know that I'm about Jesus, even if I'm being stupid and joking the way I do. Oh, yes. So, thank you, my brother. So we have the ability to lift our voices. We praise, we sing. We get excited sometimes. I don't know about you guys, and I don't connect with the praise and worship team, but All the Saints, the last song we sang, it's my favorite song. All right? I don't know. I'm sure we all feel that God's got a playlist that when we enter in heaven, you know, he clicks it, it's all like, you know, bam, 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 whatever it is. I have a feeling that All the Saints is going to be one of those songs that we're going to hear in heaven. Because when I hear the lyrics and I think the angels are going to bow down, you know, the heavenly, I'm like, this is just too much for me. This is just amazing. That song just fills me in a way that I can't understand. I get it. The Holy Spirit moves. But I love that was today, because I think that was for me to be able to know that I don't want to get in the way of what I'm sharing. Let me check my notes here. I don't want to miss anything. So, if you were back in that time, do you think you'd have been yelling Hosanna? I think I would have been. If I was in that moment, the things I heard, seeing this Messiah, seeing the person I thought, like they thought he was, I'd have been jumping around. I'd have been, respectfully offering my coat, and I would have done all that because that makes sense to me. But my curiosity is, if I lived during that time, would I have been listening closely to everything else that was going on? Would I have grasped that he was saying, listen, I'm not here to save you from your oppression. I'm here to give you eternity through conquering Satan. I like to think that I would hear that. But you know what? That's back then. I'm here now. I hear that. Do you hear that now, though? Because God's word is still the same. His word is still telling us that we can have victory. We don't have to live in defeat. And no matter what happens to you, no matter what you go through, God can still give you hope and joy. Jim, you don't understand. I just lost this person. Jim, I'm dealing with cancer, and I'm not making light. Guys, we all know someone. We all are dealing with stuff. But let me tell you a story about a little guy who was 9 years old, whose mother got breast cancer, died when he was 12, and she was his everything. She took him to church. Guys, nobody gets to lay claim over me as to what it feels like to hurt, because I was a kid when I lost my mother. And I still love Jesus. Ah, I'm special. I'm wonderful. No, not even slightly. What I have is a Savior that wrapped his arms around me and said, Jim, this is going to hurt. My mother loved the Lord so much that I'm like, she got home. She won. She didn't have to put up with this garbage that we're dealing with today. Oh, she'd have loved my kids and would have loved my grandkids, but the reality is she's in glory. And so I stand here going, you know what, God, if that's how it had to be, it had to be. What do you need from me? These people didn't ask that. These people said, Jesus, you've been doing all these things for us. We want you to be the conqueror of the politics. We want you to be the conqueror of our oppression. We want you to, and Jesus is like, you're not listening. There's something so much bigger here that you're missing. Which Jesus do you want? Do you want the Jesus that I'm giving you or the Jesus that you want? See, we got to decide, are we pursuing him or is he pursuing us? Oh, I'm just thinking about the storm. It's just the reality that there's nobody here that probably can't raise their hand and say, yeah, I've endured a lot. If you've lived long enough, actually, age doesn't matter. You could be young and have endured a ton, all right? Some of us have endured a lot. If you're married, you've endured a lot. Sorry, I'm just kidding. Hon, you weren't here. First service, I had a compliment that was beautiful. I just can't remember what it was. The truth is, marriage is beautiful, and this isn't a pick. This is just letting you know I'm married to my best friend. This is a side note, but I feel like I got to jump on it. I don't know if I missed it, but Jim and Marisa, 40 years to today, 40 years anniversary. Yeah, let's clap that, because a marriage that can endure. And what I was talking with them, and I said, you know what I love about their marriage is that it's an example. It's not just they've endured each other. I said, no, they adore each other. That's beautiful. You want a marriage to work? Follow them. You can follow my wife and I, but we're going to laugh like crazy. So follow them because we follow them. But the truth is, what a great example of Christ is loving each person regardless. Yeah, that was my rabbit hole. I've got one or two of them for you today. One very true fact about our God is that on occasion, he does not give us what we ask for. What? Yeah, he's not a genie. No, as a matter of fact, he gives us what we need. Well, yeah, I know that, but I don't feel that sometimes he comes through on my needs. Well, the challenge is recognizing what the need is. The Bible tells us if we push into God, if we ask God, God, could you reveal to me what my needs are? My needs. If you mean that sincerely, he's going to start to show you. I promise you, because I've been there. When he starts to reveal to me what my needs are, I'm starting to go, but what? He's like, that's not a need. It's close. It's a want. You've made it a need, but it's not a need. God will provide our needs. So he's not failing me as a God when I say, gimme, gimme, gimme. No, he's saying, you can come to the throne and ask for things. But if you really are serving me, you're okay with what I give you because you know it's absolutely what you need. And then once in a while, he actually gives us a need. We just sometimes get that mixed up. That's what's beautiful about God. He will always supply our needs. So I think what happened here is the people this time, they didn't recognize what the actual need was. Their need was eternity. Their need was getting Satan off their back. They were staring at the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords riding in on a donkey. Oh, let's go about the donkey. Any other king coming in would have been on a steed, would have been on something big, it'd have been a lot of pomp and circumstance. He was on a donkey. You know, nowhere else in the Bible it talks about Jesus riding on anything. The reason he rode on this donkey is because he was fulfilling the prophecies that came before him that said the King of Kings would come in riding on a donkey. You know what's really cool? The disciples, they didn't even get it. It says it wasn't until he was raised from the dead that the disciples looked back and they were going, oh, the donkey, oh, I get it now. I've done that. I'm always like, God, reveal it to me as I'm going, and he doesn't always do that. Most of the time he doesn't do it. It's afterwards if he decides to. Then I'm going, oh, it was so obvious, God. He's like, duh. I don't think God does that. Well, with me, he does. But the reality is, I think God's like, if you would have just trusted me, it would have made more sense. You'd have had peace. You wouldn't have been all anxious and worried. Man, I look at these people and I think, what were they thinking? They failed to see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So, many of us come to Jesus expecting everything to go good. Maybe some slightly bad, but not too much. So when things bottom out, we often ask God, why? Thinking it's not supposed to happen that way. That lets me know where your faith is. Is your faith situational, circumstantial, or is it with God in hope and I will take what you give me? I didn't want to lose my mother. I didn't want to endure any of the pains that I've endured. You know what? Take it. I don't want it. And God's like, okay, but I want to see if you really mean what you say. Because if you really want Jesus, if you really want your Savior, then I'm not promising you this beautiful, beautiful life. One of the mistakes we sometimes make, and not that we need to beat people over the head, but when we lead people to Christ, show them who he is. Hey, if you pray this prayer and ask Jesus in your heart, ask him to forgive your sins, he will come in. You know, the whole asking Jesus in is not necessarily biblical, but I understand what we mean by it. But asking for forgiveness of sins, that is. And making sure that we get that fixed so that God knows we're serious is big. But I sometimes wonder if we were being honest with people, we would be like, now, before you ask Jesus in your heart, I want you to know something. After you're done, your life is going to be wonderful. That's what we feel like we want to say. But actually, what we should say is, your life is about to be as hard as it's ever been. Because the enemy hates you now even more than he did before. Because now you're actually grasping onto the hope of something that's real. And I'm going to guess that you aren't going to be prepared for what's coming. See, God says you don't just accept Christ, but now you got to open up God's word. You got to dig in because you have to start getting foundations so that when things come, you're not getting moved around. You can stand and go, okay, that doesn't necessarily always have to make sense, but I trust you, Jesus. Which Jesus do you follow? Are you following the Jesus that give me what I need, give me what I want, I want a happy, I want a nice life? I wish we all could have a happy, nice life, but that's what heaven's for. So if you're not ready for that, let me excite you and to know that here, this is like just the preliminary. This is just like the test run. Because when heaven hits and we are in heaven, I trust. My heart says, I want to see all of us there. I really do. And when we're in heaven, you're going to come with me and go, hey, I remember that time you were saying this. You were kidding. Yeah. I don't want to be your neighbor, though. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that I'm going to have to sit by myself up there. But that's all right. I'm okay with that. Before I continue into the story and get towards my end, I have this side note because I feel it's a really awesome, really cool moment in this story. And this would be another rabbit trail, if you will, but I think it's less of a rabbit trail and more of a really good nugget that you don't want to miss in this story. See, after Jesus came in and after he went through, the Pharisees, the religious people, the people that were getting a little irritated about the fact that Jesus was getting all this accolades and all this, all this acclaim, they're like, what are we supposed to do? Look at these people. They love him. What are we supposed to do? So they go right up to Jesus. I'm paraphrasing. You need to shut these people up. They're being just wrong. They should be saying these things to you. I call this the definitive mic drop moment in the Bible. Jesus says to them, I tell you, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. Now, I don't know if he said it passive aggressively, because that would have been me. But the reality is, what Jesus just said is, listen. If you want to whine and complain and you really have an issue with these people calling out my name in praises, you're going to really hate it if I tell them to shut up, because guess what? Those rocks are going to weird you out in a moment. Boom. I mean, Jesus knew how valuable he was, and yet he was still ministering to people that had no clue. No clue. So I'm going to say it like this. It's tough being a Christian. I know we're non-denominational, but I grew up in a Pentecostal church, and every once in a while when you said something that hit, people would say amen. So I want to say that again, and if you have a little Pentecostal in your heart, I'd like to hear an amen if you believe that. Amen. It's tough to be a Christian. Amen. It is not easy. The enemy hates us. The world hates us. It is tough to be a Christian. Why? Because I have inner conflict on a regular basis. Because I have anxiety. I have frustrations. I have people that mean the most to me not doing things that I want them to do. And I'm sure I'm failing those same people. The world is against us. The enemy is just trying to get us to say, I give up. This is not worth trying to live for Christ because I'm not gaining anything anyway. Being a Christian is hard, but it is so worth it. See, we're called disciples because it means to discipline. You know, discipline. You can tell I work out, right? Yeah, no, not even close. Not even close. And I would scare you if I took my shirt off. But if I wanted muscles and I didn't want to breathe heavy when I walk up the steps, I would work out. Discipline. We need spiritual discipline, very much so. I need strength. And you know what? And while I need to do better, I can admit this, do better with my body. I'm working hard at my spiritual discipline. I want to be strong so that everything that hits me bounces off me or gives me an opportunity to share Jesus with someone else. And this is why I see this story, the triumphant entry. They expected so much of Jesus. And when he looked at them with a tear in previous going, they're not getting it. They're not getting it. All of a sudden, their minds shifted. And a lot of them said, you know what? Give us the mass murderer. Give us that guy. Give us Barabbas. Crucify Christ. Wow. I just can't even imagine. I just can't even imagine. So, let me bring this to your life, hopefully something you take with you. Y'all live in an area where maybe you have the same person drive by you in a car on a fairly regular basis. You know, maybe it's that cool Corvette that goes by. I don't even know cars. Is cool Corvettes cool? Yeah, I'm a guy. I don't know cars. Sorry. A really cool car. A Tesla. Anyway, car passes by. And you know what? Every time it passes by, you do the head nod. You're like, sup? And on a regular basis, you see that car. You know what? You don't even know if it's the same driver every time. You're giving a head nod to a car. Sup? What's up? My dog freaks out. Sup? Maybe it's the male person as they're at a distance, you know, and you're, hey, you know, you're out in your bathrobe, your coffee. Yeah, it's okay. Maybe it's the person at the checkout counter that you see regularly. Hey, how you doing? Listen, nod to people. Love on people. Make them feel important. That's good. But what I'm asking you is this. Is Jesus someone you're not at? Are you here today, Palm Sunday? Are you here today? It's Sunday. Is this the equivalent of your nodding to Jesus? Are you here? I did church. Check. Sup, Jesus? How you doing? No disrespect, but is that where you are? See, when you leave here, does your life change? Or did you just come to see what you needed to see, and you know what? I don't need him because he's not the person. I'm good. This is a hard challenge because this is a challenge you're going to have your whole life. And I'm speaking down to you because I'm so perfect and you guys are awful sinners. Man, we are together in this. On a regular basis, I have to say, God, help me. Help me to be softer. Help me to recognize what needs to change in my life. I don't want to nod at God. I don't want to pray before a meal, thank God, and be done. I want to know that when I go in the world, I still take Jesus. Hey, again, this is not about me, although I really think it sounds like it's about me when I say this, but I lived in a factory, and I still lived Jesus. I'm here to tell you it's possible. Oh, I didn't do it the best. There were parts of me that I dislike how I carried myself. But we can go into our jobs. We can go into our lives. We can live Jesus outside of the church. So don't be a nodder to Jesus. Wrap him up. I want to ask you this last thing, okay? So when you ask Jesus into your heart, you say, Jesus, take over my life. I want you to be everywhere in me. I want to be everywhere that people see me. I want them to know that I'm chasing after you. Which Jesus am I following? I'm following the Jesus that says that he is my everything, he is my Savior, and I will follow him. When you ask Jesus in your heart, let's think about your home, okay? You come into your house, you invite Jesus home. Hey, Jesus, come on in. Now, look at this house. It looks great. You know, I don't care what size your house is, but look. You say, Jesus, would you live with me? She's like, yeah, that's my whole goal. I want to live with you. Okay, then you see this really nice entryway. I have a nice soft chair for you here, beautiful lighting. And the truth is, Jesus, if you would sit here, I would love it because you could see the comings and the goings. You know, it sounds pretty Christian. Comings and goings, you could see it all, and I would love for you to be part of that. Jesus is like, that's what I wanted. Thank you. You're like, cool. Turn around, you go to the kitchen to make yourself a sandwich. You turn up, there's Jesus right there. What are you doing, Jesus? He's like, I'm just following you. No, I just want you to sit in the entryway. I didn't want you to follow me in the kitchen. I don't want you to come in the living room. I certainly don't want you to sit next to me when I'm looking at my phone. I don't want you in my bedroom. I don't want you everywhere. I just want you where I want you, because then I can say you're there. It's not how Jesus works. He wants all of us. I'm guilty, people. I'm not sitting here telling you you're bad and I'm good. No, I'm saying we're doing this together. Give each other support and encouragement. When you've asked Jesus into your house, he needs to have access to every room, every closet, everywhere you go. And I'm going to tell you, you're going to fail, and you're going to be convicted because you have the blood of Jesus in you. And you're going to say, God, help me. Help me to kick this addiction. Help me to stop this. Help me to speak your name over my kids instead of getting frustrated with them. Help me, help me, help me. And he will. And you say, God, what can I do for you? I want this relationship to me pursue you because he's always got you. So I don't know where you're at, which Jesus you're following. Are you following the Jesus that you kind of sprinkle in your life? Are you following the Jesus that you're saying, I just want to be enveloped, and I know I'm not going to get it right all the time, but Lord, help me to do better. Finish with this analogy. Salad dressing. Jim, you went deep, and then you lost me on salad dressing. Salad dressing. If you remember nothing else today, I hope you can connect this with what I'm saying. Salad dressing. If you go to Olive Garden, their salad dressing is in the salad. It's all mixed up. It's boom, boom, boom. You ain't going to get it without salad dressing. You might be able. I've never requested without it, but it's all mixed in. You can go most places, though, and you go, could you give me the dressing on the side? Yeah, I'm making fun of you if you're one of those people. No. I'm not. It's okay if you do this. Some people, that's just too much. But Jesus has to be Olive Garden salad. Yeah, that's deep, people. Jesus has to be every bite. He's there. You're not getting away from it. It's there. Even if you don't like the croutons, it's there. He's not your salad where you go, little bit. Ooh, that's too much. Might be the worst analogy you've ever heard. But I promise you, the next time you eat salad, you're going to be going, oh, that Jim, he's such an idiot. But I get what he means. thank you for listening today. I hope that as you think about the triumphant entry, is you give a little bit of time to realizing that what God did for us by sending Jesus on this horrific and beautiful journey was for you and for me and for everyone through eternity. My goodness, I am so not worthy. And yet Jesus looked down through time and said, I'll do it for you. That's crazy. I am not worth it. But he said, I'll do it for you because I love you that much. He went through this praise this time only to know that most of them were going to say, crucify him. Wow, that's tough. That's big. And then Friday comes, and I don't want to step on Pastor Rick's toes because I don't know where he's going next week. But then Friday came, and he had to follow through with it. Oh, I could go on forever about that. Again, I don't want to step on toes. I just know that when the Father God looked down at his Son and seen every piece of sin throughout eternity and time on him, the Bible says he had to look away. God, who is everything, couldn't even look at his Son because all of our horrendous sins were on him in that moment. Ooh, God, thank you. We serve an awesome God. We serve a God that gave his Son for us. Amen? Oh, man, we got some Pentecostals in the house. I'm knighting you as Pentecostals. You're like, no, Jim, I'm Baptist. Well, but you felt the stirring, didn't you? Would you stand with me? I ain't trying to convert anyone. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. That's the denomination, not denomination. Yeah, but let's pray. Dear God, oh, you are so awesome. God, my finite mind cannot wrap its brain around what you did for us. God, I only have my own kids to even slightly imagine. I look at my 3 children. I look at my grandkids. And if someone was to ask me, Jim, we could save 1 million people if you would just send one of those 5 to us and let us take their life. I would say, no, it's not happening. But you did. I don't know how you did. That's beyond my understanding, and that's why you're my God. Because you do things that make no sense to me and benefit me. You sent your Son to do something that is just unreal, and yet it was real. Oh, the fact that I can claim his truth, that I can claim Jesus is mine, that is victory. The enemy hates that. The enemy hates that I love him so much. The enemy thinks that he can do so much damage in my life to get me to the point where I would say, curse you, God. But that's not it. Jesus is so intertwined in my fiber, in my bones, in my blood. I can't be separated. Lord, I pray today that each person that's in this place could say the same thing, that they have so much Jesus in them that they can't separate it. Lord, if there's someone in the house today, if there's anyone here that is still trying to figure out who you are, I pray that you would show clarity to them in their minds and their hearts through your scriptures, through the love of others. If there's anyone in this house that is struggling and trying to say, I want to believe, I want to hold on to that hope, but I just can't figure it out, God, I pray that you would give them an epiphany moment that lets them understand that we don't live for what we get here. We live for what's coming. I thank you, Lord, for everything. In your precious name, amen. Before I let you go, if the elders are in the house, if you're willing to come up, if anyone needs prayer or anything specific, come on up. Otherwise, have a great week. Think of what God has done for you, because we're going to celebrate like crazy next week because of what he's done. Amen? Thank you all.